Welcome to the Rebuilding Arizona Civics podcast. This podcast aims to share our journey of sustaining Arizona's interest in reforms to civic education by implementing the Educating for American Democracy roadmap. This work is being done by an amazing group of Arizona civic teacher leaders and overseen by the Center for Political Thought and Leadership at Arizona State University. I'm your host, Liz Evans, Director of Civic Education at Arizona State University, and I'll be interviewing Arizona teachers and thought leaders in civic education. We hope you enjoy our journey to make Arizona a national civics renewal model. Welcome back. So today we are looking at kind of a lesser known part. If you go to the EAD website, there's not a tab for this, but it's still very important. And it's the six core pedagogical principles and why they matter. So today we're really looking at teachers and how they teach. I am again joined by my wonderful task force chairs, Jeremy, Tara, and Tammy. And we are going to dive a little bit into what these are. So my very first question, because you all worked on the creation of the EAD, what is the background of the six pedagogical principles? I don't even know if we're just having a straight conversation. I've heard that word so many different ways that sometimes I just switch it up, see which one works best. So what is the background of these principles?
Yeah, thanks. Tara here. And I'm going to stick with pedagogical. I guess that's where I've decided to stay. But I've heard it multiple ways as well. And it might even just be like that tomato, tomato, you know, either way works. But the six core pedagogical practices or principles of the EAD really lends itself, I think, to the overall EAD. So we've talked a lot about the report, which was the why, right? So it's this rationale of the EAD project, kind of contextualizing the landscape of why history and civics needs to be blended. Then we talked about the roadmap, which is more of like the what. It's the core content, has the seven themes, the five design challenges. And today we're talking about the six core pedagogical principles, which that is more of this how. So how are teachers going to go about employing this roadmap in their classroom? And it really just serves as a sense of support for teachers with the implementation of the roadmap itself.
Absolutely, Tara, it definitely is the how to the project. And when the EAD was first, when they were first creating the roadmap, we had these task forces that were set up. And we had a task force for political science and a task force for history, but then we also had a task force for pedagogy. And you can say it either way, I asked, because I've heard it many different ways too, although I do have a little post-it up on my computer to remind me how to say it. So what happened is after the roadmap was created, the pedagogy task force sent it out to focus groups, and these were focus groups of educators who are classroom teachers, and they basically said, this is really great, but how do we use this? And from that came the creation of the document to serve as a support structure, because really the idea is not just to have an EAD roadmap, it's to create an EAD classroom, an EAD teacher, an EAD school, and that's where the document comes in.
Yeah, just going off what Tammy said, this is a response to some really detailed study about what is being done in the classroom, in the civics and history classroom, and how can we encourage people to continue doing the good things and find ways to improve those things, or maybe rather end, I'd say, inject something new that is appropriate to and helps facilitate the ends that EAD is seeking to achieve. Because, you know, there's no, you can't separate that which you are trying to teach from that which how you're going to teach it and what you're trying to achieve. Those things have to pair well with one another.
And I was wrong. There is a place on the website that is a little bit easier to find. So I will link that in show notes. So looking at this then, it seems like the focus is really on teachers, because I heard EAD teacher, EAD classroom. Why is that important to focus on the how?
Well, it's important to focus on how because our goal is to have 100,000 classrooms implement the EAD roadmap, and teachers are the key implementer. But I do want to kind of go back for a minute, because really this document started out with focusing on the teachers, but as it evolved, it became obvious that if you want to have change in the way you are teaching history and civics, absolutely the teachers are key, but change comes from the bottom up and the top down. So the document actually, for each of these principles, it has teacher moves, what teachers should do, but then it also has student moves, because students are a key factor in whether or not the roadmap is successful in the classroom. So while the teacher has moves, the student also has moves. And then because teachers need support, especially if they're going to be talking about issues and current events and looking at documents. There's also school and district leader moves for that top-down aspect of it. So really it works together, because to create the EAD classroom, you not only need the EAD teacher and the EAD student, but you have to have the support of the EAD school.
Yeah, teachers are central to this particular document. And it goes back to what Tammy said, that in order to implement the EAD roadmap successfully for both teachers and students for that EAD classroom, it's important to support teachers through these pedagogical shifts, which again is this, how are we going to go about teaching this content? And it really is a different approach. There's a different approach to the teachers' dispositions in terms of teaching history and civics together. No longer is there a reliance on, you know, rote memorization or very static knowledge. And the teacher really is no longer just the sole shareholder of knowledge in the classroom, because we're asking students to also cultivate their own knowledge. And so these pedagogical practices are more of a journey for teachers, I think, that it supports their inquiry-based methods that they're going to be employing, but then also how to bring in this, you know, historically inclusive and yet rigorous and challenging roadmap with their students.
Yeah, I think too, Tammy, your comment that, you know, change comes from the bottom up and the top down. I think there's a degree of like positive sanction. We have sanctioned these moves, and we're going to support them, and we're going to put resources behind them. That by necessity, if something is going to happen at a system level, that's got to happen at the top. But the practitioners have to understand it. And as I said previously, there are things that, you know, teachers across the country are doing in their classrooms instructionally that are working really well for them. And there are things that they could probably improve. I mean, this is, education is such a difficult thing to do. And there's always room for improvement. And what we'd like is to, again, support teachers by helping them understand, like, this is what EAD is all about. This is what it hopes to achieve. This is how it hopes to achieve it. And this is where you can be a part of it. But in order to be a part of something and really contribute to it, just like being a positive civic actor in our country, you have to understand how it works. And so I'm happy with this. Well, I'm happy with lots of parts of the EAD, but I mean, I'm happy with this because it kind of like lifts up the hood and says in a way, like, this is how it works. And this is how it, you know, yeah, this is how it works. And incidentally, I say pedagogical because I thought about this, because pedagogue, no one says pedagogue. So I like to keep pronunciation the way it is.
We all say it in our way. We all know what each other means. The companion too has a really good graphic. So if you download the pedagogy companion, you'll see this graphic that's really helpful. And as a quick plug, if you're working on your national board certification, this is where it's at, because this aligns so perfectly, but maybe that's a different episode. So looking at these principles, what are they? Let's take a little bit of a dive into what the six principles are.
Yeah, sure. I'll start us off and actually speak to the first two, if Tammy and Jeremy want to then split up the remaining four between their two segments. But the first two pedagogical practices really focus, I think, on this idea of centering the learner. And so the first one is excellence for all. And really that all is for students, for the teachers in the classroom, but then also for content. So really looking at the content itself and ensuring that there's diversity and equitable representation that not only represents US history and current events, but also students within your own classroom. And of course, having these historically marginalized voices uplifted throughout that content as well. And so that excellence for all, I think, really is this encapsulating point in which the rest of these kind of pedagogical practices spring from. Because the second one is this growth mindset and capacity building, which I think growth mindset has really become central to a lot of, you know, edu-speak, you could say, in terms of having teachers and students be able to develop and have that growth mindset moving forward. But for the EAD document, this is focused on this continuous reflection of US history and our foundings, but then also an improvement in that lens that we might have. An improvement also for teachers in providing students with rigorous instruction and having professional learning communities for teachers as well to really foster that growth mindset and capacity building around their own knowledges. To kind of cultivate, these broader conceptions of our founding and where our country is today.
Well, principle three is building an EAD-ready classroom and school. And I'll focus primarily on the teacher side of that, their classroom. But if you had a number of teachers on a campus who bought into this, who understood it, you would then be doing the work as well of building an EAD-ready school. And really, this focuses a lot on the classroom community, classroom climate, a sense of belonging by students and connectedness between teachers and students. This is very much of a social affective side of a classroom. And how should that look and how should that feel in order that, and this is not like for its own sake, in order that students and teachers are able to connect and work through what will be some complex, challenging, and potentially not hot button, but I mean, you know, you look through American history and American civics, and there are going to be some potentially contentious issues that are going to come up. And having a healthy and positive and supportive classroom community and classroom environment is really essential to students buying in and taking the risks that are required to sit and listen to someone who has a totally different viewpoint of theirs from theirs, or speak up and make their point when they recognize that some of their peers aren't going to agree with them. So that one's really big on community and the connectedness between the teachers and students. The fourth principle is inquiry as the primary mode of learning. And we've alluded to this, implied this, and talked about this directly a lot. So much of the EAD roadmap is founded directly on the assumption that there will be lots of inquiry. There will be a lot of questions. There will be a lot of analysis. There will be evidence-based study, that which the students produce. Yeah, so inquiry is just inquiry sits directly on the foundation of EAD. I mean, it's you can't do EAD without inquiry, and I'd say without like really student focused, student driven inquiry, which is going to be high on analysis and use of original sources and students producing products, either tangible or expressed, that are rooted in them having asked questions, been asked questions, asking more questions, providing evidence, and moving through the content very much with their hands directly in it rather than just like viewing it, if that makes sense. You know, this isn't a tour. You know, we're not just touring something. We're not just looking at our history and looking at our civics and politics. We want our kids to get their hands down in it and have to really think about it. So inquiry is a primary mode of learning. It's central to and essential to EAD.
That's a really great point, Jeremy. That that moves into principle number five. And principle number five has to be one of my favorite ideas behind this document. It's this idea that students have to practice constitutional democracy in school. And I think that's really important because a lot of times we might teach in schools might be authoritarian in nature, where students sit, they listen, they comply. But constitutional democracy is the opposite of that. And it's really important for students because they will be the citizens who will be keeping that republic going, develop those skills and those dispositional values. So allowing for opportunities for students to engage in civic practices that are responsible and informed, to exercise and understand rights and responsibilities and address issues pertinent to their community. All these things are very, very important as we educate for American democracy. And it's that idea also of having students participate in simulations of governmental structures and democratic proceedings like moot courts and mock trials and congressional simulations, participatory budgeting, things like that, which are not only interesting to students because they can connect to them, but they're also essential to develop the processes and the skills. And then principle number six kind of closes that little circle and you start all over again. It's this idea of assessing, reflecting, and improving. It's basing it on the idea of formative assessment. You look at what you did, you reflect on it, and then you improve it for your next cycle of teaching and learning. Not just teachers, though. This is also for students to partake in and school site-based leaders to partake in also. So I think that taken all together, you see a really sequential way to be able to teach the roadmap in a successful way. And it's not a lesson plan or a curriculum. It's a guidance document, which will be shaped by your teaching style, the community that you teach in, your students' needs.
And that inquiry is important. It is very much active learning and not passive learning, because the passive learning is the rote memorization and, you know, spew it out on a test and then forget about it. And there's so many different ways to look at that. So my next question is really specific to our state, because one of the things that we are trying to do as the four of us with our task force of 30 amazing civic teacher leaders is, how does this play out in our state? So in the state of Arizona, how do we see these principles, this just way of doing things, play out in the state of Arizona?
Yeah, I think it's kind of exciting to say this, but we have already begun this work. So we actually already have our first cohort of EAD task force teachers here in our state of Arizona. They're geographically, grade level, content-wise, very diverse. And really what we're doing is that this functions almost as its own Educating for American Democracy professional learning community, right? We have these teachers that are coming together on a monthly basis for various workshops, engaging with work through an online platform, and really starting to do this deep dive into not only the EAD roadmap, but also the reflection of their own teaching experience, what they have done in their curriculum, and how to possibly align the EAD roadmap to existing curriculum and standards. So I think, really looking at the end of the pedagogical practices document, there's, these listed indicators of success that I already see us employing. So we've done this work around civic friendship of bringing this diverse group of educators together around this active engagement with the EAD roadmap and content, but then also providing opportunities for collaboration of both vertical and horizontal alignment. And so I think we're well on our way, and I'm super excited to continue engaging with our first group of educators.
Absolutely. I'm so excited as well. I'm going to take it to the standards a little bit as I look at where do we see these six principles playing out in our state. And we see these six principles in our standards, not just our history and social science standards, but we also see them in our ELA standards, our math standards, our social emotional learning standards, our PE standards, our art standards, our mathematics standards. We in Arizona have a mission at the ADE that we are having excellence in education for all learners. So this idea of equity and excellence for all learners is an ingrained part of Arizona education and a message that has been really strong. We are also, we also have a lot of the pieces of this in our state social studies standards. We look at inquiry as a primary mode of learning. Our entire state standards are built on the premise of inquiry as a backbone, especially when you look at our social studies skills and process standards, which ask students to develop and answer questions about history, geography, economics, and civics, to use multiple resources to develop arguments and explanations using both primary and secondary sources to argue counterclaims and to present their findings. So already we have our teachers working towards inquiry. And in addition, we also have many elements of our standards which promote student agency in the practice of constitutional democracy. We have students having classroom discussions. We have a civic education award, which looks at things like student agency and classroom discussions. We have students doing public policy research projects. We have students doing service learning. Many of our schools have a assess, reflect, and improve model, just not only at the district level, but most teachers use that type of model already. So I do feel like EAD and this how-to document really connect Arizona students and teachers to the roadmap.
I think we've got a couple of things going for us in Arizona, and I'll just touch on two of them. One of them going off of what Tammy just said, that we have standards, newer standards, that already have so much of this inquiry mindset, perspective, whatever you want to call it, baked into it. So for those teachers who are already familiar with or using the current standards, you're already on the road, which is good. The other thing is that, and there's something else too. I work with teachers and districts, and in a few cases, state departments of education in a number of states. My coworkers work with those same kinds of folks in a bunch of other states, and I can tell you that there are a lot of states right now that. Their State Department of Education is far more prescriptive than descriptive because they have exit exams from all of their classes at virtually every grade level. There's a degree of rigidity that teachers and schools and districts have to live within because of those things, because that only gets changed from the top level. And we don't have a lot of that in Arizona. I think that's a good thing. The degree to which schools and districts and teachers can, within the broad and firm, firmly grounded set of standards we have, the degree of flexibility is there to enable people to move on EAD without having to like wait for the State Department of Education or wait for the state legislature or wait for whoever controls the tests to make the changes to enable us at the classroom and school level to make these positive curricular and instructional changes. So that flexibility, I think, is positions us really well to move on this.
I think it's also important to notice that all of us, all four of us, have been classroom teachers. Every person on our task force is either a classroom teacher or has been a classroom teacher and works with classroom teachers. One of the things I will say that is really important to me is that we are using teachers, because teachers are the expert at their content. They're the expert at their students that are in front of them. And they are the ones making these incredible changes. And too often, educators are not at the forefront of policy changes. They're not at the forefront of curriculum. And that was really important to me. And I know it's important to the three of you, because we can look at this and, you know, we have trainings and we'll ask teachers, you know, what challenges do you see? How do you see this playing out in your classroom? If you have a lesson coming up, how can this work? And we're getting real-time feedback and we're getting to a place where we understand this is not a blanket thing. Some things are going to work in some classes. Some are going to work in others. Some teachers are really going to, you know, grab onto certain themes. Some are going to grab onto others, but it's really just trying to elevate civics instruction, social studies instruction. And like, I believe, Tammy, you said English and math and science, because it's all civics. They are not separate things. It is all civics. So thank you again, the three of you. We will have more podcast episodes coming up. And we look forward to continuing the conversation on the EAD roadmap and what it's going to look like for the state of Arizona.
Thank you for listening. You can find the Center for Political Thought and Leadership on social media channels. Please subscribe to our podcast wherever you find your favorite podcast. And on a last note, the views and opinions expressed on this podcast do not necessarily represent the Center for Political Thought and Leadership or Arizona State University.